First of all, I'd like to thank the Bioethics Center for having me, Mary Faith and Kirk. I'm an anthropologist, so I'm in the land of ethics almost by accident. And how I came to ethics was because I studied a procedure, episiotomy, which is done at birth on women, and it has been questioned, but there hasn't been a lot of recognition of the ethical problems that come with this procedure. And so that slowly took me into the land of ethics. And I'm from there, from this bodily inscription, I got interested into plastination, which is a very weird way of working your way into ethics. But nevertheless, I just wanted to let you know this. Plastination is a peculiar practice. It reinvents anatomical traditions and creates a new journey into a shifting hyperreality, the Science Museum exhibit. Perhaps it is the science frontier character that makes plastination exhibitions so popular. However, the new frontier, whether colonial or scientific, has often been a place of ethical uncertainty where individual rights can be suspended with troubling ease. The human body is an extremely rich biocultural and biopolitical entity, and throughout history, we've seen some pretty strange uses of the body, what looks to us as pretty strange examples. This is another picture of the Chapel of Bones in Rome. Most Catholics today would feel that this is a rather strange use of human remains in Italy or elsewhere. Next slide. This, on the other hand, is a different representation. Some of you may recognize this. This is Chrysophili, the Holy Virgin Mary. When this African Madonna was exhibited at the Brooklyn Museum, it created a great controversy because Ophili's use of elephant dung and cutouts from pornographic magazines was considered disrespectful for the representation of this holy figure. In 1999, Dennis Heiner, a 72-year-old Christian, threw white paint across this picture with the intention of disfiguring it and spreading the paint on it because he said it was blasphemous. In addition to Mr. Heiner, Mr. Rudolph Giuliani also threatened to evict the museum from its location if it didn't suspend the exhibition, if it didn't cancel the exhibit. In return, the museum filed a lawsuit for First Amendment rights violations. Next slide. So what do we do with material like human remains that is certainly going to be interpreted negatively, at least by some? Although some of us may not like the idea of plastination, it seems to provide an avenue to express strongly held beliefs and fears about death. In fact, it may even alleviate fear of being buried, anxiety about the decaying process. So in that sense, it would seem to be a useful and enabling process. These aspects are important and should not be dismissed simply as exhibitionism on the part of the donors or voyeurism on the part of the exhibition visitors. Censorship doesn't seem to be quite the right answer, but nor should it be outright endorsement when key ethical issues have yet to be addressed. Next slide. Because I'm an anthropologist, I unfortunately know what trouble history anthropology has had with the use of human remains. And I think actually anthropology may provide a useful example here in terms of how we have dealt and we continue to deal with the use of human remains. This is a picture of Ishi, which just means man, the last of the Yahi Indian. He was the last wild California Indian who emerged from the wilderness in Northern California to end up in Alfred Kroeber's and other scientists' hands at the University of California at Berkeley, Department of Anthropology, which curiously enough at the time was housed on Parnassus Heights in San Francisco. And he was almost transformed into a living exhibition at some point. But one of the things that Ishii made very clear to Alfred Kroeber was that he didn't want to be cremated. And from the conversations that have been recorded, he also probably didn't want to have an autopsy carried out on him. But in fact, that was what happened to him. And his brain, as a result, after the autopsy, was taken and sent to the Smithsonian Institution by Alfred Kroeber himself. The brain, however, went missing almost right after that, but it surfaced again 80 years later, and it has now been repatriated under NAGPRA to the Yana of Shasta County and not the Maidu, who had pressed for the repatriation under NAGPRA. I mentioned the example of Ishii because it encapsulates the violence of the new scientific frontier, where well-meaning scientists could not fulfill their friends' wishes. Kroeber was considered Ishii a friend. Ishii's brain is, in many ways, like the organs removed from the children at the Alder Hey Hospital in Liverpool. I don't know if you've heard about the Alder Hey and Bristol Royal Infirmary problems with the procurement of children's hearts. It seems that these were opportunities that were just too good to pass. For some, opportunism passing as science because nobody's looking or is asking questions. Next slide, thanks. So here's some consent consideration in relation to Body Worlds. Body Worlds is the product of activities carried out at the Institute of Plastination and affiliated institutions by Gunther von Hagens and his employees. The picture that you see on the left-hand side is actually the Dalian processing plant. I couldn't find a picture of the Institute of Plastination in Heidelberg. On the right is a picture of Gunther von Hagens showing his thespian inclination in London, carrying out public autopsy in 2002, I think. Because the IFP, the Institute for Plastination and von Hagens, deal with human remains. And human remains are a substance that is recognized as having some kind of continuity with the living person. They should provide assurances that bodies are procured in an ethical way. It's also important to know that not all procured bodies become part of the exhibitions, but all procured bodies pass through the Institute for Plastination in Heidelberg or the processing plant in Dalian. This has been confirmed to me by Georgina Gomez, who's the Body Worlds representative in Los Angeles. So to assess the ethical conduct of body procurement activities, Body Worlds, the exhibition, cannot be examined as a standalone operation, but as one aspect of the IFP Plastination brief as a whole. Next slide. And this is the thing that you see as you enter the exhibition or as you open your exhibition catalog, thanking the donors for their generous gift. Next slide. And if you read on in the exhibition catalog, you come on page 30, at least in the fourth edition, which is what I have, to this statement. And I want to draw your attention to the fact that it says that the Institute for Plastination also accepts donations of bodies that have been provided by survivors. And this is a rather unclear sort of statement. Unclaimed bodies are also accepted from government agencies, such as the Social Welfare Office, and collections of specimens that had already been processed previously. In some cases, they're rather old collections. Like if you've been to the exhibition, some of the fetuses that you see in the exhibition are from the very old anatomical collections. Next slide. At the IFP, von Hagens has established a donor program that, like many other World Body Program, accepts these anatomical gifts. What is problematic within this gift discourse is the acceptance of unclaimed bodies, who by definitions would not are donors, but without consent. And therefore, making the whole idea of donor rather questionable. The BMJ, the British Medical Journal, in 2003 reported that von Hagens was under investigation for allegedly using bodies without consent in connection with the Plastination Research Center at the Kyrgyzstan State Medical Academy. This is a picture of people working on placentas in Bishkek at the Kyrgyzstan State Medical Academies. And 200 bodies of unexplained origin were found at his institute in Heidelberg, and he was accused by a Kyrgyz MP of having abducted several hundred bodies from former Soviet prison hospitals, psychiatric asylums, all this without consent. These were the allegations that were being made. And obviously all this was done without consent. Dr. von Hagens admitted that he did not know whether the families of these individuals had been informed. And Kyrgyz officials at various levels, and I have confirmation from the sources that I've seen from at least two individuals, high-ranking individuals, that confirmed that the Kyrgyzstan Medical Academy was exchanging staff and materials with the Institute for Plastination, which sometimes they called the von Hagens Clinic, which is, I think it's fair to assume, is the Institute for Plastination, and that a payment of 300,000 German marks had been made for the shipment of these bodies. Next slide. This gentleman is Vladimir Novosyolov. He's the chief of Regional Forensic Medical Examination Bureau in Novosibirsk in Siberia. He was accused in 2001 of attempting to ship about 50 unclean corpses and about 400 brains to the IFP in the fall of 2000. He allegedly ordered all city hospitals to send all cadavers that had not been autopsied or claimed by their relatives to the forensic lab, after which the human remains were sent to the Novosibirsk Medical Academy morgue. That was the entity that had signed the agreement, much like the Academy in Bishkek had signed an agreement with the Institute for Plastination of collaboration and exchange. Under this agreement, the Novosibirsk Medical Academy would ship the unclaimed remains to Germany as unnamed goods and would receive back the plastinated bodies to be used in training. However, after the first shipment, an investigation started. Mr. Novosyolov was at first acquitted at his first two trials, but then when he went to a superior court, he was found guilty and charged of abuse of authority. Nobody else was charged. He was fined the equivalent amount of $1,000. Next slide. In 2005. So there are two main pendings, I think, main questions pending here for us in relation to body wolves from an ethics standpoint. How do we consider bodies that are part of the von Hagens brief, but they're not part of this exhibition that's here in Minneapolis or other exhibitions? What is the status of unclean bodies at the IFP? And is that even relevant? Does that say anything about Günter von Hagens and whether his practice is ethical? How do we define ethical in this case? Should these bodies be neglected by the ethics advisory committees because they are not visible? What is the cost of participating in the scientific rhetoric of gift and altruism for our ethics institutions, which is probably one of the most problematic parts of all this. Next slide. So these exhibitions are reshaping the social anatomy of the body and the biopolitical ground that it occupies. One of the most problematic aspects, I think of this, and we can talk more about this in the discussion, is the way in which ethics advisory committees have been part of this process, and they have contributed to the popularization of the exhibitions without really setting out a process of a line of inquiry for the procurement process, but for, you know, the exhibition as a whole, all of those dimensions. The only report that is available, and you can find this on the web, is widely available. Otherwise, you can contact Georgina Gomez at the California Science Center in Los Angeles. There is a report that the California Science Center released with information, and it describes the ethics review that was carried out. As part of this review, Hans Martin Saas, a bioethicist from, I think, Georgetown. Is he at Georgetown? I think he's at Georgetown now. Was sent to Heidelberg. But from the report, it only appears that he went to Heidelberg and he matched the donor consents with the death certificates. There was no actual body count. There was no reckoning between the body inventory and the paperwork. So a lot of the information that is available is contradictory in many cases and inconclusive in many other cases. So I have no evidence that the Body Worlds exhibition contains any unclaimed bodies in itself, this one or any other. But there is also not a very good record that the process that the IFP engages in is well documented in any way, just even keeping an inventory, which is something that anatomical lab would do as a matter of routine, such as tagging various specimens, especially when they become dismembered, which makes it all more difficult to keep track of them. So ethics of whatever sort, I don't think, can hide behind these thin veils of consent and gift economies. And the public certainly cannot make an informed decision about going to see an exhibit and participating in this process unless the question of unclaimed bodies is fully addressed. Thank you.